I remember telling someone 4 years ago when I was called to be the pastor of the church, eventually I will make everyone happy. And I remember someone telling me, that can't be possible. I said, yes, I will make everyone happy. Some are happy that I'm here. Some will become happy that I'm here, and the rest will be happy when I'm gone. I will eventually make everyone happy. After the Ferguson riots in St. Louis, some of you may remember this, I was actually living there. I was the pastor at the United Methodist Church in Ferguson for a time, and we had a blended church there. It was at one time a very large church and had gone down in its attendance, and I was only there appointed to be as a Methodist there for 6 months. It was a temporary appointment, and then I was at Kirkwood United Methodist Church. But in my time there, there were some bad events happening. Some of you may remember some of those, and we actually had some riots just outside the doors of the church. The church was on Main Street, and the riots took place at City Hall, which were just across the street. Some of the businesses were looted, and I was very interested in looking at the news and listening to some of the people. One man had looted one of the stores there in Ferguson. It was a bookstore, and he was being interviewed. I found it odd that they wanted to be interviewed. He said, I was there and I broke the window and I went in and I stole some things out of the store. And the lady asked him, what did you steal? And the man replied, I stole gospel tapes. I love Jesus. Our text for the day is about people who love Jesus. Not that way. Hopefully in a more positive way. Jesus defined his followers as salt of the earth and light of the world. You are the salt of the earth, he told them. He didn't say, someday in the future, you'll be the salt of the earth. Jesus told them that they were already the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Jesus charged his disciples. Be the light of the world. And again, Jesus didn't say, someday you're going to be the light of the world. He didn't say, if you work hard at becoming the light of the world, then you will be the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. That's your identity. Now, you're a lot of different things. You're a son, a daughter, and you may be a brother or sister or spouse or friend. You're a lot of different things. And your identity is very complex, made up of many different things. But Jesus identifies you in this way. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's your identity. What does it mean for us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Jesus was complimenting his followers, I think, when he said to them, you're the salt of the earth. You know, in the ancient world, salt was a very valuable commodity. Workers were paid with salt. An interesting note, the word salary comes from salt. That was payment. It was that valuable. An interesting understanding is that when you buy something in the ancient world, you could use salt as payment for the commodity. Persons wanting to purchase things today would use money. In that day, they treasured salt so much it was as valuable as gold or silver. It was a valuable commodity because it was used for many purposes. One way was to preserve food. Today, people who butcher their own meat use salt to preserve it. It was used as an antiseptic to clean out wounds. Sounds painful to me. Still is today, right? Very effective at fighting infection. Perhaps the most important thing about salt is that in its purest form, it never loses its taste. Salt will always be salt. You can't change it and make it into something else. It will always be salt. It doesn't get stale. It doesn't lose its flavor, no matter how long you store it. And this was a lesson a certain father hoped to teach his son. The father said to the son, "Put the salt in the water and come back to me in the morning." Boy did as he was told. The next day his father said, "Bring me the salt you put in the water yesterday." He said, "You want the water?" "No, I want the salt." He said, "I can't find it. It's not there." "Oh yes, it's there. Taste it. Put your tongue in the middle of it and see what you taste. What do you taste?" "Salt." "What about on this side? Try it on that side. What do you taste?" "Salt." "Try it on the other side." "Salt." So you don't see it, but it's still there, isn't it? Now, pour out the water. Poured out the water, and there was what? Salt. In calling his followers, Jesus said, "I want you to be the salt of the earth." And Jesus meant that once people become his followers, there's no turning back. You will always be this person. You will always be this. There is nothing in this world that can change you or remake you into anything else other than my disciple. Once you have been called to be my child, you will always be my child. Once you are called to be the salt of the world, you will always be the salt of the world. You will maintain and keep that identity, and there is absolutely nothing in this world that can take away that identity. That is who you are. And you will always be this to the world as my disciple. What happens when someone decides they no longer want to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus? They're of no more value than salt that's lost its flavor. But the reality is, does salt ever lose its flavor? Ever? No. It never does. It can't. It is impossible. There's no way that salt can lose its taste. You're also called the light of the world. You're the light of the world, Jesus said to his followers. A city built on a hill can't be hid. And again, Jesus was complimenting his followers. A city built on a hill is seen for miles and in every direction. Jesus was instructing his followers to let the light shine in the darkest of worlds. A light hidden under a bushel isn't seen by anyone and serves no purpose, but such a light would simply burn itself out and no one would ever notice it. Jesus said, no one after lighting a lamp would then put a bushel basket on top of it. That's not a lamp. And it serves no useful purpose. In other words, we do in the name of Jesus, what we do in the name of Jesus ought to be visible. It ought to be a light to others so that others can see who Jesus is by our actions, by our deeds, by what we say, by what we do. And we become a light into the world that knows no light, only darkness. One night at the end of a worship service on Saturday night, they had a Saturday evening worship service, and they said it was a huge thunderstorm. This is in Warren Hudson's book. He's writing about his experience as a pastor in Ontario, Canada. He said the thunderstorm just unleashed itself. There was lightning everywhere. The storm was everywhere. And we went outside of the sanctuary because total darkness filled the church. Everything was gone. But he said when we walked outside, we could still see one light casting from the top of a hill, and we knew that the brightness would shine throughout. One light can make a world of difference, can it? We were in Cuba, and I was preaching to a congregation. This little community that we were in had just built a new church. We were a part of the construction and paid for much of it. The building itself would seat 3,000 people. It was packed to capacity. The windows could be opened. It was open air. Can you imagine? People were sitting in the window sills and along the aisles. And outside the church, with the windows open, the rows went back about 10 or 15 people. They were crowded around the church outside the windows so they could hear and sing and participate in the worship service. Can you imagine? It was incredible. I was preaching, and I had an interpreter with me. But before I could stand up to preach, we sang music. We sang for 2 hours. Everybody. The worship service had started at about 7 o'clock. And then I stood up and started preaching. And it had already eclipsed 2 hours, and now I was talking about 15 minutes into my sermon, and guess what happened? The government turned the lights off. The music minister started singing and shouted out in Spanish, "Let's start singing. God can hear us in the dark." And then someone took out a phone and turned the light on. And then everybody started taking out phones. Lit up the whole space. They can turn out the lights, but they can't keep us in the darkness. What difference does a light make when you're in darkness? Huge difference, doesn't it? One little light can light up a room. In the darkness, we can shine just a little bit of good and make a world of difference. Like a light of beam shining out, modern day followers of Christ can be visible to the world in great ways. Our temptation is to let our light shine only for those inside our church and ignoring people outside our church. What we need is light and salt. What we need is to change the world we live in some new way. I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, Jesus warned his followers, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Don't be misled. The scribes and Pharisees were good people, finest people. They had all sorts of rules and regulations, and how they loved to debate the fine points. They lived their lives in strict observance of the Torah. They thought that if they could live out their lives to the letter of the law, that somehow that might be enough. But Jesus wants us to outlove everybody on earth. Instead of consulting the rule book, we love people, all people. And it becomes evident that we're different. And we become light and salt. Will Willimon tells a great story. Will Willimon was a chaplain at Duke University for many years. Now he's a bishop in the Methodist Church. And he talks about a group of women in one church who wanted to be light and salt to their community. They were taken back by the situation that was happening. They were in a college town, and they realized that sometimes college students misbehaved. Did you know that? And occasionally they'd wind up in jail. And so these ladies decided they wanted to do something to make a difference for these college students and from their church. They actually put together some toiletry kits that they would give to the young people, and when they'd find themselves spending a night in jail, it included toothbrush and toothpaste and soap and shampoo and a piece of candy and some other things. And they were visiting in the jail, these young people, and they were taken back by the conditions. They said, you know, it turned out that that place, that little jail, was not at all the kind of place that any of them would want their kids to have to end up at. First thing that impressed the women was the sheer number of prisoners. There were at least 30 a week, and it was a little bitty jailhouse. They said one of the women discovered the city collected over $100,000 a year from the jail operations, and the women were also shocked with some of the procedures. There was no distinction made between these older prisoners and these young college kids that were brought in. They were all just thrown together. Between first-time offenders and repeat offenders. One of the women stood up at a church meeting and said she was beginning to feel that the jail was a disgrace. It's doing more to encourage crime than to stop it. Something needs to be done about the system. The more time they spent helping these students in the jail, the more they saw things they didn't like. They saw things a few citizens of the town of Pine Mountain had not seen. They noticed that there was an attitude among those who were responsible for the jail that didn't help the situation at all. They saw signs of excessive force against some of these college students, and they didn't like it. And they heard rumors of money changing hands in order to get people lighter sentences. And they didn't like that either. So this group of women, isn't it always amazing to me? It's always a group of women from the church. Went to the city council. And the jailer was there, and he said, "I knew we were asking for trouble when we let you women stick your noses into things." You women ought to stay out of something that's none of your business. That didn't work. Y'all ought to just stick to your church work and leave the legal work to us. That didn't work either. One woman later spoke at the church, according to Willimon. She said, when the jailer told her that this is church business, she said, "This is what we do." An investigation was launched. The jailer resigned. Some new people were hired, and they stayed right in the middle of it all. I call that salt and light. Salt burned and the light glared, and they changed their little corner of the world. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Change our little corner of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You and me, we're salt. We're light. We're called to make a difference in our little corner of the world. And Jesus is telling us, be the salt. Be the light. Make a difference. Change the taste. Light it up so that the darkness can't overcome it. Go be who you are. Salt and light. Follower of Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray that you would enter into us in new ways so that we can make a difference, that we can be a person that creates and causes and nurtures change in positive ways of love and kindness and justice. Use us as salt and light in the world. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.